So the last few weeks we've been going through Isaiah 9:6, and it's a prophecy from the Old Testament. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah wrote those words 700 years before the shepherds found a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, we've looked at Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor. Last week, we saw him as the Mighty God, and today, we're going to look at Jesus as the Everlasting Father. That's kind of a confusing title for a baby whose birth we celebrate. It seems strange and even unique that Isaiah says that this baby will grow and be called the Eternal Father. Charles Spurgeon explained it this way. He said, "How complex is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? Almost in the same breath, the prophet calls him child, a counselor, a son, and the everlasting father." And none of this is a contradiction. And for most of us, it's not even a paradox. But it is a marvel that he who was an infant should be at the same time be infinite. He who was man of sorrow should also be God over all, blessed forever. And he who is in the divine Trinity, always called the Son, should nevertheless be correctly called the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ was the physical embodiment of God. And I think there are some misconceptions about Jesus. But according to the Bible, Jesus wasn't the vice president, associate minister, or junior partner. Philippians 2 says, "Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." In Colossians 2:9, it says, "In Christ, all the fullness that God had lives in bodily form." Throughout the Gospel of John, time and again, John drives home the deity of Christ. You see, Everlasting Father means an enduring, compassionate provider and protector. That's a great definition of who Jesus was, or who Jesus is, sorry. Jesus claimed to be God. He said, "If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." He said, "I'll tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am." The child of a promise would become our eternal Father. Now, how each one of us is related to our own Father, our earthly Father, can have a great impact and shape our view of how you see your heavenly Father. That can be good, or that can be bad. It can serve to be helpful in your understanding of God, or it can be harmful, depending upon the home which you came out of. You see, the problem is that a child is not likely to find a father in God unless they see some of God in their father. What pops into your mind when you think of fatherly responsibilities? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to see how it is that Jesus provides for us. First, let's notice that Jesus provides resources. A good earthly father does his best to provide for his children. He provides not only for their needs, but occasionally he even gives them what they want. Sometimes too often we give them what they want. As a father, you love to feel like you've provided resources for your kids, even when those resources really aren't essentials. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. He said, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Notice something here. Your everlasting Father specializes in meeting needs. But if it fits within his general will for him to grant wants as well, he'll provide not just things that we have to have, like food, clothing, and shelter, but he'll also provide things like encouragement and wise counsel, teaching, love, and acceptance. Several times, Jesus took his disciples away from the crowds in order to teach them and pour himself into them. It was kind of like a spiritual retreat for them. Back during Jesus' public ministry, He would sometimes teach the people for hours upon hours. And the people would be there and they would be hungry. And on one occasion in Mark 8, he says, you know, you can't send them away. They haven't had anything to eat. Some of them have a long trip ahead of them and they might collapse on their trip back. That was one of two occasions. That was when he fed 4,000 people. On another time, he provided resources and fed over 5,000. Providing for people wasn't just in his private ministry either. Jesus wants to provide for you as well. If you seek him, if you truly seek him, he will provide the necessities in your life. He may increase your income or simply choose to stretch your paycheck a little bit. Your everlasting Father may send a Christian neighbor with some food when your pantry's bare. He may keep your car out of the shop or lower your expenses. He might have someone anonymously send you $100 to keep your electricity on during the holidays. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. This is what Jesus will do for you if you will just trust him. He promises that he will provide for you. And we like that idea of provision, right? There's the old story of the man who wasn't feeling well. So his wife took him to the doctor. And after the examination, the doctor pulled the wife off to the side and whispered to her, I don't like the way your husband looks. And she said, neither do I, but he's always been a good provider. It was bad, wasn't it? Your everlasting Father is the best provider. He takes care of your needs. You may recall the account in the Old Testament when Abraham was tested by God and told to go and sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. This is a time when a phrase was given to describe God. This is one of the numerous names of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will provide, or the Lord who provides. All the way up the mountain at that time. Abraham's son is asking, well, where's the sacrifice? What are we going to sacrifice? And the whole way up the mountain, Abraham is saying, God will provide. And just before Abraham is about to take his son's life as an act of obedience, God intervenes and stops him. And in the next verse in Genesis 22:13, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Maybe Jesus is providing for you right now. Maybe he's providing the resources that you need. A lot of the time we miss those moments because we're so consumed with our circumstances. But if we can only step back and look at things clearly, we can see God providing just the things we need exactly when we need them. Next, that Jesus provides protection. A good earthly father protects his children. Remember in the New Testament when Jairus came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Jesus healed her and brought her back from the dead. In Mark 9, there was a man who came to Jesus and told him that his son was possessed by a demon. And he simply said to Jesus, please help me. And Jesus, the everlasting Father, helped him. Always at Christmas, we think of the time when Jesus was born and the Heavenly Father, in order to protect Jesus, warned Joseph in a dream. King Herod acted interested in the wise men's discovery of the Christmas star. And so the birth of this special baby was something that was of interest to him because of his pride. In an effort to kill the children, he sent the wise men to find the baby under the pretense of wanting to worship him. The wise men brought gifts to the newborn child, but the Lord warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The Lord also sent an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream to take the baby out of Egypt, for Herod was trying to find and kill Jesus. There is protection from the Father throughout this whole story. Sometime later in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. Now, for us, it may not seem as dramatic is that is the way that God protects us. But Jesus does provide protection for each one of us. He wants to protect you from the evil one. He wants to protect you from the fiery darts that Satan might send. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Be on your guard. Protect yourself from spiritual stagnation. Jesus wants to protect you from harm just as any father would. Years ago, the preacher Estelle Taylor told the story of how he was, when he was a young child, for Christmas one year, his gift was a pair of roller skates. This was back when homes would have a wood-burning stove in the kitchen area. Like most kids, he wasn't very good on roller skates. He had a hard time turning, and he had a really difficult time learning how to stop. One time he went rolling across the kitchen area, and it was quite evident by the way his hands were moving that he wasn't going to stop. And he was heading right for the wood-burning stove. His face was about to be seared by the stove when at the last second his father thrust out his hand and stopped his son's face. But the speed of the boy carried his father's hand against the stove. And they could hear flesh burning throughout the room. And instead of the boy's face being scarred for life, his father's hand was scarred for life. Estelle Taylor said that all of his friends had thought that hand was just a hideous thing. But to him, it was a hand of love and protection. Years later, when his father passed away, the undertaker had taken his father's good hand and placed it over the scarred one in an effort to try and hide it. Estelle said that he told him to reverse it. He said he wanted everyone to see the hand that saved his life. Someday you and I will get to see the hand that saved us. And it will be the hand of the everlasting Father. And it too will be scarred. Nails have a way of doing that. Jesus wants to provide resources. He wants to provide protection. He also wants to provide discipline. See, a father does discipline his children. Some of us probably not enough. But that is an expression of love. It's a necessity for learning, and it's a motivation to mature. When I was growing up, my father taught me right from wrong. He expected me to behave. Even when those times when he wasn't around, the fear of what would happen if I did something. Not to upset him, but to disappoint him was enough to keep me more or less in between the ditches. I had a friend whose dad was worked for IBM and was on the road a lot. I mean, constantly on the road. So when he was 7, 8 years old, his dad would go out of town, and he had brothers and sisters and all, and it's a fairly large family. Mom was just there by herself. When his dad would leave the house, he would put 2 stacks of coins on a shelf, or a stack for each one of the kids. And when his father got home, whatever was left in your stack, you got to keep. Now, this was back when bubble gum was 3 cents, okay? But anyway, when his father got back, he got to keep whatever was left. Whenever he would misbehave, his mom would go over and pick a coin off the stack. His dad must have been pretty intelligent. He somehow specialized in child psychology. He would have a smattering of pennies and dimes and all, but then out of the blue, the 6th coin would be a quarter. And Jeff used to talk about how after a while, he got to the point where he would weigh his choices and behavior based on the value of the coin on top of the stack. If it was a penny or a nickel, you'd just go ahead and you smack your brother or scream at your sister or do whatever you were going to do. But when the quarter was on top, sometimes you could go 36 hours without doing anything. His dad would call from out of town and say, how's everything going? And his mom would say, oh, it's fine. The quarters are on top of the stacks. Everything's fine. although he was hundreds of miles away, Jeff's father could sleep because of this method of discipline. Jesus disciplines us in a variety of ways. He disciplines both long distance and also up close and personal. He disciplines through the Holy Spirit, that voice in the back of your head, Christian friendships, through biblical teaching and through his word. Sometimes we miss out and think that discipline is punishment. Discipline is a process. Discipline is a process that deepens us emotionally and spiritually. Look at Hebrews 12, 7 to 9. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? The everlasting Father disciplines his disciples. He taught them. He rebuked them. He trained them. Remember in Matthew 16 when he asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter gives the great confession, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And two verses later, Peter says something that he shouldn't have said. And he gets rebuked. And he gets, you know. When they were scared in the midst of a storm on the boat, he said, oh, ye of little faith, Jesus will discipline you too. Discipline us too. Especially if we're serious about growing and wanting to mature spiritually. A coach will sometimes begin the preseason by taking his players and trying to determine their commitment level. How bad do you want to play? How bad do you want to be here? Are you willing to pay the price? Do you really mean what you say? Do you really possess what you profess? Jesus provides discipline, but finally, Jesus provides security. A good earthly father will always provide security. He works so as there is enough to eat, so there's clothes and there's shelter. He provides security through love and living a life of integrity. Home is supposed to be a safe place. There is total security there because your father is there. That's why you have a sense of security. Think back years ago to December of 2003. In Iraq, they found Saddam Hussein living in a hole in the ground. This is a man that for years found his security in material possessions. He had dozens of palaces, and yet he was found living in an underground cave. Not even a cave. It was a hole dug in the ground. What a contrast. For many of us, it's just the opposite. We may have started out life with very little, but in the end, when we get to heaven, we wind up with the riches of a king because of what our everlasting Father provides for us. Too often, I think we forget that. This time of year, into November, December, the suicide rate can dramatically increase. And this year, it's even more. People forget the truth that there is a Father in heaven who wants to provide for them. Instead, they listen to the little whispers Satan puts in their ears. Your everlasting Father promised to provide for you in all areas of your life. But you have to take him at his word. You have to trust him. He says that he will never leave or forsake you. Think of it as a child would. If a father takes their responsibility seriously, they pour into the life of their son or daughter. And as a result, the child doesn't worry about what they're having for dinner tomorrow. Or they don't worry about the two-day drive to grandma's house for the holidays or where they're going to spend the night on the trip because it's going to be provided for. They don't worry about that. They feel secure because of their father. They just trust that dad has it under control. And undergirding it all is this incredible sense of security. Dave Stone, who preaches at Harvest Bible Chapel outside of Chicago tells the story of his uncle Greg, his mother's brother. Greg was born with cerebral palsy. His mind is at about a fifth or sixth grade level. And at a certain point, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Dave's parents would spend most of their time at the hospital, being with him, trying to provide for his physical and emotional and spiritual needs. They spend their time reassuring him, reminding him of God's promises at those times when he's awake enough and able to listen. Dave talked about the time when he called his dad and on his cell phone while he was at the hospice unit with Greg. And his dad said, "Just give me a second." He got outside where he could talk. He said he did something I'd never heard or seen my father do. He just started to cry. His dad said he had been having conversations with Greg about his future and talking about Christ. And he said, "I just finished reading some Psalms to him, and I barely made it through Psalm 121. Now, I want you to imagine lying in a hospital bed, knowing that you're dying of cancer, knowing that you are dying, but also knowing that you belong to God. I want you to listen with that understanding to what Dave's father read to Greg out of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And when he finished reading it, Dave's dad said, told Greg, he said, "You know, Greg, your sister and I are up here a whole lot. We want to stay with you as much as we possibly can. Sometimes we have to go home. We have to get some sleep. But, Greg, the Lord never sleeps. And he'll be with you all the time." And his dad said, Dave's dad said, "When I said that to him, Greg opened his eyes the widest I'd seen in 2 days, and he just nodded yes." There comes a point in everyone's life when you will need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have an everlasting Father who will provide protection and peace, compassion and care in your life. You need to know that he is one who never slumbers or sleeps. He promises to be right there, right beside you when you need him the most. That's why he's called the everlasting Father, the one who will provide for you. Maybe on today, this Sunday before Christmas, you can realize that Jesus was born in a manger, but he was destined for a cross. And our everlasting Father provided everything that we needed when he was at Calvary. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, it's hard for us sometimes to see day to day in our lives how you work to provide the things we need. And probably more so at this time of the year because of all the stress with family and, you know, the material part of Christmas. And especially this year with everything going on. It's so much harder to focus on that. And Lord, we would pray, we would just, throughout the coming days, just give us an overwhelming sense of peace and understanding that no matter what we're going through, you are right there with us. And that as long as we walk in your ways, focus on keeping our relationship with you uppermost in our hearts, that it'll all be all right. That we're all going to make it through whatever it is we're going through. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to strengthen us and keep that in our in front of our minds. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.